So church, this morning we're in our third week of our monthly series titled Miraculous. This amazing series, we're praying for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, next week is Pentecost. Amen. Pentecostals, that's like, we got Easter, we got Christmas, and then we got Pentecost right there. And for other churches, it's just another Sunday, which is sad, but we love it, and I'm excited to preach next week. If I do, I don't know. I'm just going to be led by the Lord. I'm going to prepare and then be led by the Lord just like every week. But see, we're in this amazing series, and we are praying for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God. That's what we're praying for. I hope you are too. Are you joining us in prayer for that?
Yes.
Amen. We're also learning how the miraculous power of God is still available to those who still believe. See, the miracles of the Bible, they still happen today. The sick are still healed. Have you ever seen somebody? Put your hand if you've seen the sick be healed before, or you. Okay, how about the oppressed be set free? You ever seen that? Amen. Have you ever seen broken restored? Have you ever seen anything dead be resurrected? How about your soul? So do you believe in miracles? Now, the Bible teaches us that all things are possible to those who believe. Mark 9:23, Jesus says this, "What do you mean if I can? Are you psh?" He probably did one of those psh. Are you kidding me? Will Smith didn't make that up. It was, psh, come on. "What do you mean if I can?" Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. Now, Jesus said that. Church, did you know it is unnatural, say unnatural.
Unnatural.
It is unnatural for a Christian to not have an appetite for the impossible. But unfortunately, we all know some believers who only live in the comfortability of the possible. And they never contend for the impossible. And here's the saddest thing of all. They believe that way of Christian living is actually normal Christianity. That's today's title, is normal Christianity. Anybody remember WWJD bracelets?
Yeah.
Right? Hey, right, everybody wore it. People wore it and they weren't even Christians. They're just like, yeah, so cool. They're huge my entire childhood in the 90s. Are they still around today? Anybody?
Yes.
They are? Because the 90s are coming back. Some of that stuff should have died. Straight died. Y'all know what I'm saying. If your pants are three times bigger than your leg, don't wear it. It looks weird. You are swimming in your clothes. You look like a flag when it's windy out. Hallelujah. That's good. It's just coming right to me from heaven. Man, these colorful bracelets, they were an awesome reminder. Every time that you looked down at your wrist, you thought, what would Jesus do? WWJD. Now looking back, I think a more biblically accurate and a more empowering bracelet would have been DWJD. Do what Jesus did. I'm going to preach today. Do what Jesus did. For didn't Jesus tell his followers many times to not just think about the miraculous? Huh, what would Jesus do? I think I'll just sit and think about it. But instead, Jesus gave them authority to do the miraculous like he did. Luke 9, 1 and 2 says this. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples, the ones he was discipling, the 12 that were walking with him every day that saw what he was doing. And he gave them power and he gave them authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everybody about the kingdom of God. And what else? to heal the sick. D-W-J-D. Do what Jesus did. I love reading stories in the Bible of men and women who did the miraculous. Does anybody recall a powerful story in the Bible of a person who just sat around and thought about what God wanted them to do, but they actually never did anything? It's a good story. I don't recall one either. Not a single time do I remember they just sat around and talked about what Jesus did. Or the prophets, or Yahweh. They don't just sit around. See, the Bible's full of stories about faith-filled people who stepped out in faith. And they believed what God said. Church, they didn't just believe what God said. They actually did what God said to do. And what happened? These believers saw the miraculous things happen in and through their lives, all for the glory of God. Now, Hebrews 11, it's called the what? Faith chapter. Okay, gold star, what's up? Somebody went to Sunday school. Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter. It goes on and on about the great faith of God's servants of old. The Apostle Paul must have got tired of saying this. It was by faith that so-and-so did 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 this. He must have got tired because guess what happens? Just 31 verses later in Hebrews 11, 32, it says this. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, David. Every time I tried, I couldn't get it. Samuel and all the prophets. Verse 33, by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the flames of fire and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness, church, was turned into strength. They became strong in battle, and they put whole armies to flight. Amen. There are so many miraculous stories in the Bible of people living out their faith. I just listed a few. Abraham and Sarah at old ages starting a huge family tree. Impossible. Noah with his worldwide flood and his family ark, which apparently is now in America. Okay, they found it. You know what I'm saying? They built a replica. Moses with his 10 miraculous miracles to let his people go. Na 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 na, huh? Let my people go. Na na na. Right, Mom, you taught me this, right? Sing it, Mama. Remember that? Na 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 na. Let my people go, huh? Na 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 na. Okay, that. Welcome to in here. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. That was the song of the 90s, right? Sunday school. We're just walking around, let my people go. Yeah. Okay. All right. See, Moses had 10 miraculous miracles to let. He said, let my people go. He said it until they got out of free of Egypt. Joshua and his small army taking on giants to acquire the promised land. David, as a boy, killing Goliath, a giant undefeated warrior. Jonah, the whale, and an entire country of Nineveh repenting and turning to God. Impossible. Elijah, alone with the fire of God and 450 false prophets of Baal. Turn out so good for them. King Jehu, killing evil leaders, and then the powerful and evil Jezebel to restore Israel. Then we have Jesus performing many miracles. The Bible says too many to record. John 21:25 says Jesus also did many other things. If we were If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. He ministered 3.5 years, which means the miraculous happened over and over and over and over. It was every day, all the time. Couldn't even write it all down. Ooh, could somebody follow you around 3.5 years and write it all down? The miraculous of your life? Come on now. I told you I'm going to preach. And then we have the disciples, the followers of Jesus, living out their faith, being full of the Holy Spirit, and doing what Jesus did after Pentecost. D-W-J-D. Church, do what Jesus did. I want to read quickly a normal early New Testament church kind of day. Ready? Acts chapter 5. Verses 12 through 16. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Many. And all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in an area known as Solomon's Colonnade. Meeting together. But no one dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. See, even then they had observers and participators. Verse 14. Yet more and more people believed, and they were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets, on beds and on mats, so Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick to those and those who are possessed by evil spirits, and church they were, what's that next word? All healed. That's a normal day in the early church. See, we think we read this kind of stuff in the Bible, we think, wow, that's really cool. Nifty. Those churchgoers, they were full of the Holy Spirit and full of God's power. Miracles happened for them over and over again. It's like they were doing what Jesus actually did. I wish we could still do that. I wish we could still see that here. I wish that kind of thing still happened today. Church, I want to tell you something. Those kind of things still do happen today. We think what I just read was miraculous. But church, that's normal Christianity. Is anyone in here tired of talking about the gospel of truth and power and never seeing any of that in action? Aren't you tired of trying to carry out the Great Commission without offering proof that the kingdom of God is actually real? Jesus told his disciples this in Matthew 10, 7 through 8. Go and announce to them the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. At some point in time, Christians have settled for emulating bad salesmen when it comes to sharing the gospel. We have an encounter with a person. We walk up to them. We talk to them about this product that we have, this Jesus person. Then we just hand the person a brochure or we hand them a Bible and we walk away. We walk away from the personal encounter and we never demonstrate what the brochure or what the Bible was actually talking about. Without the miraculous, we are cheating people. We're giving out a cheap gospel. I mean, how many times have you gone to church and all we do is talk? How many times in your life all you do is talk? Some of y'all don't even talk. I'm telling you, religious demons are breaking in the house today. Religious mindsets are breaking in the house today because, church, there's more. There's biblically more than what you have believed and what you have settled for. Unfortunately, this is how most people preach the gospel today. We tell people how great the product is, how great Jesus is, but we seldom demonstrate it or prove that it actually works. We walk away and we say, well, I can't show you how it works exactly. Just going to have to believe it. Believe it for yourself, brother. I can't prove it to you. Have a great life. Church, this is not normal Christianity. This is not the Christianity of the Bible. This is not what the Bible teaches. A Christian life with only the understandable and the possible is not the gospel Jesus told us to live out and spread to the ends of the earth. We need to DWJD. We need to do what Jesus did. It's not just about what would Jesus do. Do what Jesus did. Do it with words, yes. Do it with love, yes. But also with demonstration from the Holy Spirit. Here's what Paul says to the Corinthian church, because they must have been dealing with it too. He says this, 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. Why did he do this? It says in verse 5, I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Churches after churches after churches just stand around and we talk and we talk and we talk and we discuss and we think about what Jesus did. Fantastic. Wonderful. That's great. Then we go home and we do nothing about it. That is not normal Christianity. Church, did you know that you meeting Jesus was only the first step in your Christian walk? It was not meant to be your final step. Christianity is not just what God has done for us. It is also what God can do through us as well. Conversion into Christianity puts you at the entrance of the entirely new way of thinking, believing, and living. Sadly, there's a lifetime of experiences Christians don't experience because they're stuck at the entrance of the kingdom of God. I've arrived. Many believers never enter into their full purpose or walk out what it truly means to be in Christ. They spend their lives rejoicing on what God has done for them at the river shore, but they never cross the river and take the land. See, most Christians have repented enough to be forgiven, and praise God for that. If you're not forgiven, we don't have anything. It always starts at the cross, always. Everything points to Jesus. And many Christians have repented enough to be forgiven. Praise God. I recognize it's not in my own strength. Lord, forgive me. Change me, mold me, shape me. But church, we've repented enough to be forgiven, but not enough to see the kingdom of God here on earth. Repentance is not simply being sorry for what you have done or sorry for the things that you haven't done. See, the word repent broke down means this, re. Re means to go back. And pent means the top floor of a building. That's why it's called the penthouse. So to repent as a Christian means you got to go back to God's perspective, which is the top on reality. Go back to God's reality. Without repentance, we remain locked into carnal ways of thinking and living. We go back to God's way of thinking. We need to renew our minds through repentance and through the washing of God's word. A renewed, repentant mind recognizes what comes from hell and what comes from heaven, and then agrees with heaven. Your mind needs to be sanctified and yielded to the Holy Spirit so you can carry out God's perfect plans, His perfect will for your life and the lives around you every single day. Church life is so much more fun when you realize what normal Christianity is and you experience the miraculous by partnering with the supernatural. It's a huge honor and it's a huge privilege and a great responsibility that too many believers don't believe for. And now why? It's either because of fear, not understanding, or bad teaching. Biblical doctrine is super important. It's super important, right? Sometimes you have somebody who's super zealous, and they're just out there just, they don't know what they're talking about, right? You got to have some wisdom, go behind that zeal. Then you got the people that are full of wisdom, and they're dead as a doornail, and they're boring, and all they want to do is talk. Talk's cheap. You got to put some zeal up in that, right? And get going. You got to land in the middle, church. You got to be full of wisdom and zeal. So biblical doctrine is super important. I have my master's degree in theology. I believe it's important. I went to school again and paid a bunch of money to get another degree. I believe it's important. I'm saying that on purpose. You got to know what the Bible says and why the Bible says it. Don't just be a little, don't be the cutesy Christian that has the cool sayings. And the little one verses, what is the context? Why is that said like that? There's more power in the Word of God than your t-shirt or your cool keychain. But church, doctrine is ineffective if we just share it, but we never offer proof of who God is through it. Jesus never made the gospel to be simply a doctrinal exercise. Did he? He wasn't the greatest philosopher or the greatest teacher and just sat around and discussed great things of this universe. The only way to consistently do kingdom works is to do what Jesus told us to do, is to view reality from God's perspective. That's what the Bible means when the Bible talks about renewing your mind. Because the battle, if we're honest, is usually where? Think about this. How many times in your past, have you talked yourself out of something crazy, supernatural, and unbelievable because your mind said it couldn't be done? Your spirit, God was speaking to your spirit and something crazy was happening and that person in a wheelchair, God's saying, pray for that person, or you're over here and say, somebody's dealing with something, you need to cast that out and set them free and tell them about Jesus. Or maybe you just got to stand up and speak the truth. Oh, but my family and my friends are going to be mad. Well, how many times have we talked ourselves out because it sounded crazy or miraculous or over the top or impossible? To be any great use for the kingdom, our minds must be transformed. They must be renewed. Romans 12:2 says this, and do not be conformed to this world, right? But instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good, you may prove what is acceptable, and you may prove what is the perfect will of God. Last night as I was studying, late at night, God said, look up the word prove. Let me tell you what it says. This is the definition of the word that God put in his word right here for us. Prove means to demonstrate the truth or existence of something by evidence. So let me read this scripture again to you with the definition of prove. And do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may demonstrate the truth or the existence of something by evidence of what is good. God is good. Or what is acceptable. God knows what's acceptable and unacceptable. And you may prove by demonstrating by the existence of something by evidence the perfect will of God. Amen. That goes a little bit deeper now. You don't just get transformed in your mind. Once you are transformed in your mind through God's word and the revelation of his word and the spirit of the living God, and you're made brand new, once you get that revelation, you better prove something. That's what... You don't just read part of the Bible. Don't just read part of that scripture. You got to prove something. He wants you, once you've been transformed and you no longer are conformed to this world, once you are transformed, you are to prove the perfect will of God. The supernatural renewed mind reflects the reality of heaven. The Spirit of God living on the inside of us has the reality of heaven here on earth. See, when we have renewed minds, church, we don't simply just have our minds thinking differently and stop focusing on the carnal and sinful things of this world. A renewed mind is a transformative mind in the way that we think, because we now think not from this reality, but from a different reality. We have a heavenly reality. With God, we don't simply have a transformed mind. We now have a transformed perspective. We have a transformed position. We have a transformed outlook on life. We have a transformed frame of mind. We have a transformed stance in where we stand and what we do. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says this. Anybody been raised to new life with Christ? Raise your hand in the air, hey? Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life, church, is hidden with Christ in God. So what's your reality? What is your perspective? Having a renewed mind is often not an issue of whether or not someone's saved or going to heaven. Having a renewed mind is actually how much heaven he or she wants in his or her life right now. Jesus urged us to do an about face, right? A complete turnaround to everything we've ever thought, believed, or ever we've ever walked, all the mindsets, all the pain, all the hurts, all the things of this world. He says, turn around and go the other way. Complete turnaround. He's urged us to do an about face on reality because his kingdom is at hand. He brought his kingdom here. Jesus brought his world with him. Jesus wants all his followers to see reality from God's perspective and to live in the realities of heaven here on earth. If you don't believe me, how did Jesus teach us to pray? Matthew 6, 9, and 10. In this matter, therefore, pray, right? Jesus is telling us how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, what? Your will be done, huh? Where? On earth, exactly how it is in heaven. If you don't believe for the miraculous, you don't even believe what Jesus is saying and how we should pray. See, Jesus only said what his Father told him to say, and he only did what his Father showed him to do. In the life of Jesus, listen, he taught with heaven's power. Wherever he taught on the kingdom, he would also do what? Heal people and set them free. It wasn't one or the other. He might heal people and set them free and then preach, or he might preach, heal them, and set them free. It wasn't one or the other. It was always both. He had teaching, and then he had demonstration. Even in his hometown, right? Even in his hometown, when people didn't believe, he still healed some. Because some had faith. The others just thought, oh, that's that weird little boy, right? I remember him, right? He went to go get a drink, and he fell in, and he was just right on top of the water. He never actually went in, right? Just playing. You saw that with me, didn't you? Oh, pff. It's like concrete for him, poor guy. Church, this is not some new age thing I'm talking about. It's not mind over matter. This isn't like, if I think hard enough, if I do hard enough. It's not new agey. It's simply going back to God's perspective of reality and living as if we really believe the Bible. It's our absolute honor and privilege to be co-laborers in doing what Christ actually did. It's an honor. I mean, Jesus didn't just save us, church. He empowered us to do what he called us to do. It wasn't just about salvation. If it was always about salvation, the rapture wouldn't have to take place because as soon as you become saved, whoop, you go to heaven. Right? It's like pew, 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 pew all the time. But who's going to preach that? That's not how that works. Salvation is the beginning. Now, the Bible teaches us this very important thing. There's a main strategy for Jesus and his time here on earth. Do you want to know what his strategy was? One person. Amen. Miss Randy, pregnant one. Here you go. Everyone else, just listen. She's going to get this. Okay. The Bible teaches the main strategy for Jesus' time here on earth was in 1 John 3:8. It says, the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. The normal Christian life means destroying the works of the devil. I got to stop here for a second. I got to just preach for a moment. Okay. Keep that there so I know that. We say America's going to hell in a handbasket. That's a big handbasket. I don't even understand that saying. That's weird. Right? The handbasket better be made of metal because that's going to burn up when you get to hell. See, we say America is just falling apart. Everything's terrible. It's all, I mean, we just talk about how terrible it is. You know why America's falling apart? It's not because we have bad leaders. We've had bad leaders for a long time. It's not just because of that. Everything here on earth is spiritual. Evil is prevailing over godly because the godly have become weak and non-existent and don't even believe what they're actually preaching. I just want to preach the truth. It's true. I'm not saying you go and you just conquer everything. What I'm saying is actually read the Bible and do what Jesus did. If all the churches actually did what Jesus did and they didn't just warm a pew and go home and sin like a sailor, oh, yeah. And then you want to get up and you want to speak at church, you cannot hide the darkness, church. It'll all come to light. Be set free. That religious demon is going to have to fall. Be authentic and real. If the church steps up, speaks up and walks out its faith, right? I'm sure there are people in Nineveh saying, oh, yeah, this ain't never going to change around here. Never, ever, 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 ever. Till this man named Jonah came, said, you better repent. Well, God's going to straight destroy everything. Let me tell you, if America doesn't repent, God will destroy everything. But I don't know about you, but I live in America, and I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. I have a calling on my life, and I have a thing that I got to do. People got to start stepping up in their callings and get involved and start doing the miraculous in their life and not act like it's some crazy thing. You think it's some crazy thing? It's normal Christianity according to the Bible. It's maybe not normal Christianity to you because you believed a lie. You have settled for weakness. This ain't no TED Talk. I'm not just up here to tell you something cool and fantastic. I'm going to go home and think about it. And it's going to change my life. Jesus came for more than that. He came in John 10:10. It says he came for a sozo life. You see, the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give a life and life to the sozo. That's spirit, body, soul, mind. That's a whole thing. That's a whole shebang. It's not just about your head. Quit thinking like Romans and all it's always about your head, like Greeks. It's always about your head. That's not what it's all about. See, even Jewish people understand this, that your head and your soul and your spirit and your head, your body, and your spirit are all one. You got to be healthy in all of them. Man, we talk about, oh, come on now. I'm just preaching. We talk about health, right? We want mental health. It's an epidemic going on. It is. Because y'all shut down the world because of this COVID thing that automatically now all of a sudden is not a big deal. Right? COVID didn't leave us, but all of a sudden there's no restrictions on COVID anymore. I can fly anywhere now, all of a sudden. Stupid. Anyway. See, we talk about mental health, and it's important. Some of y'all need to talk to somebody. Some of y'all need to be delivered by something. Some of y'all have mental health problems because you got something wrong in your life, and it's called demonic. There's something demonic in your life. Some of y'all just need to talk to somebody because the Bible says that you got to bear one another's burdens. We got to come together and pray for one another. The Bible teaches us what to do. But here's the problem. When do we ever talk about spiritual health? I got my master's. I don't got my doctorate, but I'm going to do my best. God's bringing a word today because he wants to transform your life. He doesn't want you just to stay at the river and never take the land. Okay? I'm not talking about an uprising. You know, some people believe that there's going to be this time where the Christian church is going to take over, right? They're going to take over the Jews and we're going to take over the world. No, the Bible talks about everything's going to fall apart, right? And people are going to be sinning everywhere. Even the church, half the church is going to fall apart. Matthew, Jesus prophesied that. Half the church ain't going to be listening. Half the church ain't listening right now. They're settling for the demonic. They're settling for what the world says is right. They, come on. This is what they're doing. The church is doing this right here. They're being conformed to the world and not transformed by the renewing of their mind. Right? There's churches all over that are doing that. And that's going to take place. But until the rapture, you've got a call in your life. You got something to do and you've been settling for coming to church and hearing Pastor Harris preach. And Pastor Mark preach, and guest speakers preach, and we go back, and we're like, oh, that was good. Praise God. I don't even want to talk about it at lunch. I just want to move on because it's uncomfortable. You are settling. You are settling. And it is not of God. It's religious. It is religious. It is religious, church. You know I'm saying this because I love you. God was rocking me all week. It's religious. I don't want to be religious. I want to be biblical. I don't want to be religious. I want to be loved by Jesus. I don't want to be religious. I want to see my neighbors and my friends. I want to see them delivered and healed and set free. I want to see people in my family be delivered and set free and healed. I want to see people that I don't even know. I want to see all of Walmarts be as clean and nice as Targets, okay? You know what I'm saying? I know. It's a better deal there. I get it. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? There is ministry everywhere, church. Everywhere that you go, everything that you do. What am I, where am I at right now? I'm wrapping up. I don't know what time it is. Oh, look, it's 11 something. Let's go. Can't your lunch plans, you give fed something that will last for all of your life, right? Jesus said that he's the bread of life. You can eat, and you'll get hungry again, but he will feed you. You'll never be hungry again. That's right. The Bible teaches the main strategy for Jesus' time here on earth was 1 John 3:8. The Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. To do that, church, to emulate Jesus, to do what Jesus did, you must repent. You must have a renewed mind that focuses on having heaven here on earth. Quit settling for earth and hoping heaven comes. Jesus already brought his kingdom 2,000 years ago. Okay? He brought it. He brought it. You can walk in the healing. If you believe in the stripes of Jesus, you've been healed, but you haven't walked it out yet. Right? Maybe it hasn't manifested itself out. Now, you're not going to live forever in this body. Okay? You're all going to die. Like, if some people get so high up, like, I'm going to always be healed every time. Well, when are you going to die? Right? Eventually, we're going to die. Unless we get raptured, we're going to die. These bodies are broken. That's what it is. But if you don't believe for supernatural healing, right? I don't have to always understand why some people are healed and they're not. What I need to understand is what the Bible says, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. To believe that the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. To believe those things, I must go out and be obedient to those things and watch the miraculous happen. You will never see a miracle if you never step out of the boat. Well, I wish great things would happen in my life. Well, you are so apathetic in your relationship with God and your faith with God. And church, I don't mean this mean, but some of us are so selfish. You keep every great promise of Jesus and you hold it to yourself and you never share it. You never take that key that freed you and free somebody else. Here's what it looks like to be a normal Christian or a normal Christian life. Miracles, spiritual intervention, divine freedom, revelation, restoration, peace, joy, love, and a godly purpose. For written into the spiritual DNA of every believer is an appetite for the impossible. The appetite shouldn't be suppressed or ignored or misinterpreted. See, the Holy Spirit in you is the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave. It says it in Romans 8:11. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, okay, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm too weak. I'm too tired. I'm too shy. Whatever. You are denying the Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave who lives in you. You are got to get out of your head and get into God's Spirit and watch the miraculous happen in your life. It's got to take place. If every church everywhere started doing what God said to do and we start acting like Jesus everywhere, let me tell you, the world will take notice. The world will take notice. America will take notice. And you know what has to happen in the presence of God? Demons have to go. Right? So when you walk into a room, right? We need spirit-filled believers walking into Washington, D.C. Because the devil. I mean, we've needed that for years, so many years. Just afraid to even say the name of Jesus. You know, if you're ashamed before man, Jesus said he'll be ashamed of you before his Father. Don't be ashamed. Even if they kill you, you still win. All right, I'm going to skip to the end here because I'm just flowing with whatever. But Pastor, why are Christians today not walking out and practicing their faith in the miraculous like the early church or the early Christians did in the Bible? Well, maybe it's bad teachings. Or maybe it's disappointments that have robbed many people of this reality. Or maybe it's what Jesus kept saying to his disciples. We have little faith. We honestly don't believe what we say we do believe. We read the Bible, we preach the Bible, but we don't live out the Bible. Or at least we only live out part of it. Pentecost is coming, church. But this is what I believe. I believe God is changing the way Christians think about today and their so-called impossible. I want you to think about this before I have you stand. If you don't believe in miracles and you don't believe in the miraculous, and I know I can feel the tension in here of people denying what is being said. If you don't believe it, read God's word. Okay, just read God's word. You don't have to believe me. That's fine. Be like a Berean and search God's scriptures. Search them. Find in the New Testament, show me where I'm wrong. And I will be glad to come up next Sunday and say, you know what? You don't need to see the miraculous in your life. You don't need to do what Jesus said to do. You don't need to act like him. I know Christian means little Christ, but you know what? Maybe we don't need to. I'm telling you, if you find it in there, I'll repent and I'll say I'm sorry. But every single time I read God's word in the last few years, he reveals new things about me and things about my life and what it means to be a shepherd in this time, right? This is not an easy time, right? You used to go to restaurants and everybody's like, oh, it's a pastor. I'm going to pay for his meal. Now you go, oh, it's a pastor. You hateful creep jerk. You intolerant blah, 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 right? That's reality. But you know what? I don't serve man. I serve God. So whatever. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, we got to understand the times we're living in. If you don't believe in miracles, how on earth are you saved? You didn't do anything. If you don't believe in the miraculous, how is a dead spirit and a dead heart recreated? How are you born again? That don't even make any sense because it's miraculous. That's why. Man, every time you get afraid to do what God's calling you to do, look back at your salvation and say, God, you pulled me from the pits of hell and you put me in the high places with you. And not only that, God, you know what else you did? You recreated me. I can think brand new. I can do new things. I don't have to be bound by the things of this world. I am set free. I got to walk out in those realities. I didn't do anything other than believe, confess with my mouth, and walk with Jesus. Right? That's the miraculous thing. Once you get that, you got it. Man, we got to find that again. Find it again. Find it again, church. Find your first love again and understand how miraculous that is. And you won't be afraid to walk up to anybody and tell them. Miracles still happen. Because, you know, honestly, every Christian that dies and goes to heaven, you're a walking miracle. I believe things are rising up and the impossible is having a new meaning in the church house today. God is teaching us again this morning to work hand in hand with the kingdom of God so the reality of heaven can come and crash into earthly problems and overwhelm them by the presence of the Almighty. It's normal Christianity. When we invite God into the impossible, astounding miracles, great victories, unexplainable hope, healings, deliverance, revelation, and freedom will take place. See, church, this is biblical. This is normal Christianity. Will you stand? Worship team, you can come. I want to say these last few things before we go. Church, we need the miraculous. Why? Because we live in a mission field. All around us are people who are lost, broken, and caught up in the demonic. And if that scares you, I don't think you know the power of God. That shouldn't scare you. That should motivate you. Like, okay, game time, baby. I know greater is he that's in me than anybody in that world. But here's one thing. Don't get pompous about it. Be led by the Spirit, not your pride. Okay, a lot of Christians out there, oh, I'm in Jesus Christ, I'm going to walk into here. It's like, dude, you were led by the Spirit. Jesus, everywhere he went, was led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, have no fear. If you're led by your pride, you better be fearful because you left God behind. That's free. Normal Christianity and normal Christian living begins at the realization that we're put here on earth to do the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6, 9 through 10. In this matter, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth where we live right now as it is happening in heaven. Yes. Simply speaking, your call here on earth as a believer is to know God and to make him known. Know God and make him known. The will of God is simpler and plainer than we have made it to be. If you read God's word, he has not kept his secrets and his desires. Hush, hush. They're right there, plain, black and white and in red. He wants the reality of heaven to invade this world so the lost can be found and the hurting and the broken can know the true, real, loving freedom of God. See, God's will is to be done here on earth like it's happening in heaven. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And what happens when Christians in the church, they meet up and they understand and they walk out the mission of their life to do what Jesus did and to destroy the works of the devil? Here's what happened. Lives are set free. Bodies are restored. Darkness lifts from people's minds and the rule of the enemy is pushed back in every single arena imaginable. So, believer, I want you to read God's word. Read God's word. Believe God's word. And then do God's word. D-W-J-D. Do what Jesus did. Why? Because that's normal Christianity. Let's pray. Father, we're here today in your presence. And I thank you for all that you've done. But we're not satisfied with just us being filled and us being loved and us being free. Father, I thank you for that. For that's the beginning of the reality that we are living here on earth as Christians. We have to step out. We must speak up. We must get involved and get out of our heads and into our spirit. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the New Testament over and over and over again. It tells us exactly how to live, what to say, what to do. I thank you that in the word, the most phrase that is used throughout the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, is do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for your Lord God is with you. You're with us. Your presence is with us. And right now, God, we need a Holy Spirit boldness. Because we're called to do the miraculous. The signs will follow those who believe. The signs will follow those who believe. God, I want to be a believer. I don't want it for my glory. I want it for your glory. Every single time anything miraculous happens in my life, I will give you praise. I will not take credit. I will give you praise for that. But God, I want more. I want you to speak to all of us. To go out and do what you've called us to do, to be like Jesus. Church, if that's you today and you need the boldness of the Spirit of the living God, I want to ask you to get out of your seat before you go and come to the altar. I'm going to pray for you just as a whole. I'm going to pray for you to have the boldness of the Holy Spirit, that you can do the miraculous in your life. You can be Jesus to this lost and dying world, not someone who just observes. Right? James tells us faith without works, faith without demonstration, faith without these things, might as well be dead. Lord, we don't want to just be people who believe and hear your word. We want to be doers of your word. We don't get our value in what we do. We're already valued at the highest price, and that's why we're saved. We're already valued at the greatest price, but we don't get our value from that. We get our value from Jesus. But we got to do something about it. We got to do something about it. So if that's you today and you want the boldness of the Holy Spirit, come forward. Come forward now. Come forward. I just want to pray for you. Come forward. To do the miraculous in your life. To break the religious. And to do what God has called you to do. Do what Jesus did. Not just think about it, but do it. Will you just extend your hands to heaven if that's you? If you can't make it to the front, if you're in the back there, still standing, just extend your hands if that's what you want, but you don't want to come up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just going to ask a simple prayer. There's nothing special about me other than I was chosen to bring God's word today. I'm going to just pray for a miraculous touch to be upon your life, that God is going to heal you, he's going to set you free, and he's going to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit so you can watch and you can walk out the miraculous in your life. Spirit of God, fire, come right now and fall upon him in Jesus' name. Purify them in a supernatural way. Right now, I pray for the power and the presence of the living God. Fall upon them right now from the tippy top of their fingers to the soles of their feet, I thank you right now for what you're doing. God, I ask for a supernatural touch right now. Right now, touch them from the top of their body to the soles of their feet. May they be empowered by the boldness of the Holy Spirit. I speak to the spirit of fear. You do not have the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. A mind that is recreated in God's word. I pray right now the fire of God fall upon you in a supernatural way. That you're going to walk out bold. God, I pray that right now they're going to be in tune to your, their ears are going to be in tune to your voice. Sheep, you got to hear the shepherd. Recognize his voice and follow him in any place that he calls you to go to. Fire, God, come right now. Lord, they stepped out in faith. So I pray right now, each and every one of them, this is what I pray. I pray every single person that wanted that, before they lay their heads down to sleep, that they will have an encounter where they can pray, do, speak, or lay hands, or something miraculous to take place. Lord, we're not in charge of the results. We're in charge of doing what you called us to do. I pray for the obedience and the faith to get out of the boat and to do what God calls them to do. And we will leave that up to you, God, and what you want to do. And if a miraculous thing happens, because I believe it will, if a miracle happens, put upon our lips the exact words to say so they can know the real, living, breathing, amazing Jesus Christ, who raised from the dead and set us free. Give that word to them, even if they're timid in speech. Just like Paul, the guy could talk with the best of them, but he did not. He said something simple, he said something plain, and he let the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit do his work. God, I thank you for this. You're a good and amazing God. Before we leave today, empower us. We love you. And most of all, God, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lead us, Brent, lead us. Hallelujah.